And yeah, once again, welcome. I'm sitting here together with my colleagues Wolfgang Bouyer and Dr. Riad Nuralla, and we will guide you through Q1 2022 financial earnings. Let us start with a summary of the key developments. And well, as many of you have already expected, our business development slowed down in Q1. We have an EBITDA of 0.4 million euro. We have a revenue of 12.4 million euro, which is a decline of 5.7%. And the main reason is, of course, the 24th of February. So the attack from Russia against Ukraine, which, as I will show in the upcoming slides, had a clearly negative impact on our business, on customers' buying behavior, on new customers, and in general, our business development. In addition to, of course, decreased growth after the Corona lockdown ended, and in view of the strong growth we had in Q1 2021, which was really a record quarter with 27.9% of growth, I think it was clear that this would slow down. But in addition, with the negative impact of the war, the market environment we had in Q1 was rather difficult. And despite these external factors, I'm happy to report that with our static webshop, we were able to increase sales by about 3%, clearly outperforming the market, the German e-commerce market, and yeah, showing that with an improved conversion rate, it was possible to increase sales despite decreased online traffic. Our video shopping app, Julie, continues to develop very positively. The channels are now grew more to more than 160 channels. We have now 2.2 million played videos and more than 335K users. So this continues to develop very nicely. And regarding the outlook for the whole year, I think we can confirm our outlook. So we have a sales decline in the single digit percentage and an adjusted EBITDA in the low million range. A drop in Italian TV sales because of the optimization of the broadcasting schedule, bringing down the live hours of TV transmission to 7 hours, 4 to 7 hours, depending on the exact scheduling, which is accompanied by disproportionately high savings in the broadcasting range costs. On the next slide, slide number 4, well, I think this is something I have presented in detail already in the last call. So let's go directly to the next slide, which shows the development. We're looking at the eighth. So this is the eighth consecutive quarter where we are profitable after important restructuring programs we did in 2018, 2019. We can see a continuous positive trend, and yeah, eighth quarter in a row that is profitable despite the difficult market environment we had to face in Q1 of this year. Coming to the key developments of this quarter, we had a successful start into the year. You can see here the different January profit per show minutes of our live TV business from 2016 until 2022. You see the massive increase we had in the first in January 2021, and we were able to keep it more or less at the same level in 2022 with a slight decrease, which was expectable. But on a clearly on a higher level than the pre-pandemic PPMs. And yeah, second best PPM for our German live TV business in the history of the company. The active live customers have increased by 5% versus January 2021. So we here had also positive development, also driven by the amount of new customers we already acquired in Q4 2021. We had a lot of special successful TV specials with our core brands, which bring a high PPM, with guest shows, which bring a high PPM. And an important channel that brings together our live TV business and our e-commerce business, our online live bidding agent, grew by more than 15% versus January 2021. So quite a good start into the year, which, as you can see on the next slide, dramatically stopped and dropped with the outbreak of the war on February 24th. Here you can see the difference between active customers, new customers, active customers per day, new customers per day on average, and the profit per show minute between the time before the war, so from the 1st of January until the 24th of February, and for the time after the war, from the 24th of February until 31st of March. And yeah, you can clearly see how active customers per day dropped by 25%. New customers per day dropped even more by 34%. And all this, of course, led also to a decrease in the profit per show minute by 17%. So a massive impact we were able to see in the different KPIs since outbreak of war in Russia. Despite this difficult environment in our web shop in Q1, so here you see the whole Q1 development, not only January, but whole Q1, we were able to grow by about 3% in revenue. This was driven by also a successful January sale with a lot of active customers, but also because of a lot of improvements we did in our online marketing and our on-page conversion rate, where we were able to improve the conversion rate by 8% Q1 2022 versus Q1 2021, which allowed us to improve sales despite a negative trend in online traffic. And yeah, this, if it's still, well, a bit early to compare this to the whole market, but first information we have, for example, from the Salesforce sale index shows that this growth is outperforming the market. So Salesforce, for example, sees a revenue decrease for German e-commerce shops by 15%, minus 15% in Q1. So I think, that shows that the well positive performance of the plus 3%. On the next slide, we see we have received 1 week ago an award from Statista that has been published in Computer Bild. It's an award that has been given independently to us. 7,000 German online shops have been tested. Only 10% have received an award. So I'm happy to report that for our German web shop, this is proof that we are on a good way with all the developments in the different fields. As I said in the summary already, Juli continues to develop very nicely. We have now managed to get well above 150 channels. We see that both in Germany and especially in India, channels continue to grow, reaching now the number of 162 channels. And also user development is growing, reaching 335K in April 22. Moreover, the US launch of Juli is planned for May of this year. Yeah, what is the way forward? So for Q2, we have three important steps. One is our we could call it Black Friday sales event, which is the annual birthday Juvelo birthday. A high density of fresh stock, a lot of guest shows, special promotions. So this is really about getting back our active customers, improving revenue per customer, and having month of June, which is really full of special promotions, driving PPM revenue and margin. And there's a huge focus that we are putting on this important event for Q2. Moreover, we will focus, or we are already focusing on our high-value brands. We are developing new high-value brands. We launched Amayani, for example, relaunched Amayani. We focus on core brands with high PPMs, with a high average selling price, since we see that this customer group doesn't seem to be so much affected by the high inflation caused by the war. And we try to bring up the average selling price by focusing on our high-value brands. And finally, we continue to develop our online full potential by developing the new mobile app features and launching a new bidding agent on our website that will also improve the conversion of the many static web customers we have into our video shopping channels, where we know that customers achieve a higher revenue per customer. So our target is converting more customers possible into this video shopping channel with a new bidding agent. Yeah, I will now hand you over to Dr. Riad Noralla for the financials.
Yeah, hello. Let's come to the financials of Q1 2022. And let's take a look at the key numbers. First of all, focusing like on the key numbers, revenues, as Florian already said, went down. So we had very strong Q1 2021 quarter. And of course, so after the macroeconomic circumstances, revenues went down, but nevertheless, less than in contrast to the overall market. We faced that the gross margin also went down. It's right now at 6.3 million. Nevertheless, we mentioned and we made it to be profitable. And this is, as Florian said, the eighth consecutive profitable quarter, adjusted EBITDA at 0.4 million. Let's come to the main KPIs. I think what we can really point out above the point that we are profitable, our very strong equity position, so facing at 55%. Overall, coming like to the main KPIs, so we see that our items sold are on the same level as well as our number of active customers. That means so we are still able to attract our customers. The outlook. In fact, we are confirming our outlook. That means we see a certain point of decline in 2022, which is driven on the one hand of the macroeconomic situation driven by the war in Ukraine. And of course, we see a certain volatility concerning like COVID and our supply chain. So overall, we see a single-digit decline in our sales, which is also accompanied by our decline of our TV business in Italy. Nevertheless, our decline TV business in Italy is accompanied by savings in broadcasting costs. Nevertheless, our webshop we expect still to grow and outperforming the overall e-commerce market. Gross profit margin should continue to develop stably at more than 50%, and adjusted EBITDA is expected to be in the low single-digit million.
Ja, Many thanks. This was the presentation of the Q1 data. And now I would like to hand over to you for your questions. And I don't know who was first. I think Mr. Frey. So I would like to hand over the microphone to you, Mr. Frey. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, first of all, thanks for the positive surprise. I feared actually much worse than this 6% decline in sales in the quarter. First of all, on the gross profit side, can you elaborate a bit? Is there anything special behind the decline of gross margin in this quarter? Or is this more the regular fluctuation which we are seeing there?
Yes, I see I hear myself twice. I think someone here has to stop the microphone. Oh, perfect. Thanks, Riad. The cost of producing our jewelry and the cost of the material, gold, silver, has slightly increased. And it always takes a little bit of time to pass the increased cost over to our customers. So this, of course, has a little effect, a negative effect on our gross profit margin. At the same time, I don't expect this to be something that will last too long. So it just takes a little bit of time. And I think currently customers see increased prices everywhere, not only at Illumeo. So this is not only a problem that concerns us. It's a general trend we see in the market. And therefore, yes, it could be seen as a fluctuation, but it's currently a topic we have passing on the increased prices to our customers.
Sounds fair. And I noticed, well, we spoke about the broadcasting cost in Q4. Would it be reasonable to just annualize your Q1 run rate, which you had, so that we probably arrive around slightly below 6 million in broadcasting expenses for the full year?
Well, maybe let me come to this point. So, and in fact, I can confirm it. So the broadcasting costs you see like in Q1, you can rather like actualize. So because like the overproportionally savings we made, so they're nearly reflected, and we expect them to be within and to continue for the entire year 2022.
Okay, sounds good. And lastly, probably with the war in Ukraine now, well, losing a bit of his limelight status probably, and people getting too accustomed to it. Are you seeing any changes in trend regarding your customers returning back or anything you can report on that one side?
So the most important event, as I said in the three steps way forward, is the Jubilo birthday now. And I think the Jubilo birthday will give us replies to this question and clearly show what the trend will be. So this is something we are fully focusing on, and this will give us these replies.
And all the best for the birthday. Thank you.
Many thanks, Mr. Frey. And let us come to Mr. Bosse. Good morning, Mr. Bosse.
Hello, morning, Mr. Spatz. Thanks for taking my question, Volker Bosse, Baader Bank. Yeah, first of all, congratulations to you, of course. Not just the birthday of Edomeo coming up, no, also you and your new position as a CEO. So all the best and sums up and yeah.
Many thanks. Thank you.
I wish you good luck and good success. Perfect.
Many
And of
thanks.
course, also business-wise, congratulations that you were able to manage to keep adjusted EBITDA on a positive level, which was also a positive surprise for me, but it underpins your cost efficiency in that regard. Coming to the question, I would like to start with the gross margin decline, which you reported in Q1. Could you build the bridge? What were the building blocks, the components of the gross margin decline? A bit more granularity on that side would helpful. Do we want it step by step, or do I shoot my three questions? How do you prefer?
So I think we can do it step by step.
Okay, then. Yeah, thanks.
So I'm not sure if I understood correctly your first question. So you would like to have more details about the decreased gross margin.
Gross margin decline, yeah. What were the components of the gross margin decline? So the building blocks to build the bridge to the lower margin finally.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not a question of selling price of promotion. So we didn't decrease our typical selling price for certain products by any relevant amount. So of course, our pricing strategy allows us to be a bit flexible here, but it is mainly related to the higher cost we have. So this is the main component, and this comes
cost on the sourcing side. Sorry to cost, interrupt.
Yes. Thanks for clarifying this. Cost on the sourcing side. So cost of the manufacturers we are working with, the different manufacturers. Gold price for all manufacturers is more or less the same. We have a global gold price that increased. We have global silver prices, so the material cost increased. And also energy costs increased is something our manufacturers told us, explaining why the prices for the gemstones increased. So energy cost and to a certain extent also labor cost. For the gold price and the silver price, it's difficult to say how this is going to develop, but it's clearly on quite a high level compared to the last years currently.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you. What's about the availability of your finished goods, so to say, given the supply chain constraints which you receive? Do you receive your products via plane or via ship? And have you made any changes here in regards to the shipments? And how much are freight costs up year on year if you do a rough comparison? So three questions in one, so to say. Yeah. First of all, regarding the availability of products in general, so how do you look at your inventory stock? Do you see any problems to get access to new and fresh products? And then the second part of the question is more related to the transportation and transportation costs.
Now, for the transportation cost, Riad will tell you. For the general way of transporting, we didn't do any changes, so we continue to get on a very regular basis our products. The positive thing compared to 3 years ago is that we don't have one manufacturer where we are highly dependent on, and if there's any problem with the manufacturer, if there's any problem with an energy crisis, an energy lockdown, no more electricity or less flights between a certain country and Germany, and therefore problems in the shipping, is much, much reduced compared to that situation. We have more than 30 different manufacturers. Some partners are in Germany. So here it's quite easy to organize transportations. Some are in North America. Of course, our main hubs are in India and Thailand. So we have a good level of risk distribution. However, sometimes, of course, certain shows we planned on TV had to be postponed. So a flight that was planned was canceled. And the merchandise, so the products arrive, but they arrive 3 days or a week later than we have expected. So it's not something that causes a massive supply chain problem, but it's more a question of rescheduling shows of customers yeah. that might be disappointed because they expected a show on Saturday evening and not on Tuesday. So it's not always helping us, but it's not a general high problem or high risk I'm seeing. Mm-hmm.
I think there's still the question of for Mr. Nurala, right? Regarding the cost increases year over year. Do you have a rough idea regarding yes, cost? You're on mute, Mr. Nurala, please.
Right now. Yeah. Right now you can hear me?
Okay, yeah, perfect.
So, I mean, like if we take a look at the overall, like, I mean, we have it like in total, the import costs as well as the shipping costs. So yeah. there, of course, there we see like an increase, which is not unexpected due like to the corona situation we face sure. like in Asia. And overall, like attributing it, we see like an increase. I think like the better estimation is quarter over quarter. And there we see like in comparison to Q1 2021, an increase of roughly like 5%.
Only 5%? Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, cool. Good. It brings me to the final question. I think we can get Mr. Bouillet into the game because the question is regarding Julie. I mean, yeah, really excited to hear that the US launch is going to happen in May. Could you give us a bit more granularity on the details, how that is planned, how many shows, how many
yes.
channels or details of that. And finally, and to add this up, is what are you expecting for Germany and India? You showed us the chart with a nice increasing number of channels, basically month by month. Where does it go to? Do you have here any specific plan where we will be in 1 year or in midterm, or to put it into perspective where we stand as of today and where it's most likely going to it? At least according to your plan. Thank you.
Well, thank you, first of all, to asking me a question and giving me the opportunity to also speak out, even though I think that Florian is doing this really great.
Absolutely, no complain.
The launch in the US will be with a jury that will be focused on jewelry only. Since we have a pretty extensive network of partners in the world who produce jewelry, we decided that we were going to launch Julie in the US as a jewelry-only product. As you all know, we are financing Julie out of Illumio's cash flow at the moment.
Yeah.
And the ability of Illumio to finance Julie has its limits. And we do not think that it would be worthwhile to launch in the US with the same level of broad approach as we have done this in India or in Germany. So we decided to go a focused route. We will probably launch with 10 to 15 channels in the US. In the very first phase, it could even be that Juvelo will not be a challenge and not be a channel in Julie, so that it will be complete without a Juvelo channel. As you all know, Juvelo has maintained a webshop in the US for quite some time and has closed this webshop, I believe, 1.5 or 2 years ago. So that's something that we're still considering. This launch will be important for Julie in the sense that we will learn from this launch the data required to see what a product-focused Julie would look like in terms of marketing to end consumers. So are we going to be able to attract customers at the same cost levels in the US with a jewelry-only focus, or will the cost per customer go up because we will have to run a more targeted campaign? So that is the general approach for the US. As for the total, we believe that we will continue to grow more or less at the rate that we are growing at the moment. Our scalability is way higher, so we could spend probably a marketing budget that is 5 or 10 times as high as what we spent at the moment and invest this profitably into the growth of Julie. But clearly, in a situation where we're seeing declining revenues in our core business, we have to be very prudent on the amount of money that we spend on a project like that, because clearly we have to maintain profitability for the entire group. So our Illumio investing capabilities are limited, and we have to grow the business within the boundaries of these limits. This is one of the reasons why at the moment we're exploring options to see whether we could potentially finance Julie independently of Illumio Group. And it could be that we will try to pursue that route, because as an entrepreneur, it breaks my heart to see such a vast potential in front of myself, and basically to have the feeling that we could run very fast, but then we have kind of a little bit of a metal ball attached to our leg, which drags down our speed. So that ball needs to be removed in order to Julie to be able to really perform to its potential.
Yeah. And yeah, speaking about potentials, potential Germany, India, just any rough KPI you can share in regards to number of channels or whatever is on your mind?
We have not yet made a projection for that, not for the second half of the year, and also not for 2023. What I can say is that both countries at the moment are performing better than we had expected. And probably with the Q3 numbers, we will also give a more precise projection what happens. And together with the three Q3 numbers, we will also for the first time be able to come up with first revenue estimates of the revenue potential of Julie.
Yeah, perfect. Fair enough. Thanks a lot. And yeah, all the best for all of you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, there are no further questions. So many thanks from all of you, from all of us. Many thanks for your continued trust in us and in our company. All the best to you, and see you all again for the Q2 presentation. Bye-bye.